When I think about Mother's Day, I think about a lot of different things. One of the things that I think about is I think about my own mom. And quite honestly, I find myself missing her on days like today. If we're friends on Facebook, today you would have seen a picture of her, and alongside of that picture, you would have seen a picture of me at her grave. And I miss my mom on a day like this, and I know that many of you do as well. I think about another mom that's the mom to my wife, Julie. Her name was Arlene, and she's home in heaven. And I think about her. She was like MacGyver in the kitchen. She could cook anything. You gave her like leftover pot roast, some day-old bread, and some carrots, and she could work magic with stuff like that. And I miss her on a day like today. I think about Julie, who is my wife and the mom to our three sons. And I think about how she loves our family and how she cares for our family. And I think about all of you. I came across a little reading this week. I didn't share this in either of the other two services this morning. So this is free, and it's worth it, and it's a bonus. It's a bonus. And I wanted you to hear this today. Mom, you are not forgotten. You whose mom is no longer on this earth, and you who would give anything for one last conversation, one last kiss, one last hug, you whose mom didn't show you love and grace, and instead, all you can remember is pain or suffering. You who would give anything to be a mom, but it hasn't happened. A single woman with no one to share life with, or a woman who has tried so hard and for some reason the womb didn't bear a child. You who were estranged from your child. You who would love to see them, hug them, hear them, and yet they won't acknowledge you. You who lost a life. Maybe the child never saw earth. Life was lost in a womb. Maybe you chose to end that life, and you regret it every day. Maybe you had to bury your child, a fate maybe worse than death. I remember standing at my mother's grave, and I remember my grandfather standing next to me, and I remember him saying, "Chad, a parent should never have to bury their child." I want you to know, though, you are not forgotten. On this weekend, where it might feel rather raw again, where you might feel like no one understands, God is El Rohai. He is the God who sees. And he sees you, and in your pain, your tears, and your despair, and he loves you. Now, Mother's Day for some is filled with joy and laughter, and for others it's filled with heaviness and hardship. And we wanted to take some time this morning, and we wanted to honor and thank God for our moms, and we wanted to find some life and joy in that. And so every once in a while, you come across a video, and you say, that video is too good just to keep to yourself. Like, it's just one of those things. I think that's what Facebook is for, right? We share things now on Facebook. And so I came across this video by a guy named Kid President, or a kid named Kid President. Anybody know who Kid President? Anybody ever watch Kid President? Yeah, there's some people in this room. So Kid President, he put this video out quite a few years ago. It's 10 Things for Moms. This is not like straight out of the book of Acts. Don't look for Kid President in your Bible. He's not one of the disciples, okay? This is free, and it's worth it, and it's just fun. And then after the Kid President celebrates moms for us a little bit, Pastor Loretta is going to come, and she's going to offer about 5 or 7 minutes or so honoring and thanking moms, and then I'm going to come and preach a little bit.
But good morning, and I get the privilege and the honor of just saying and sharing, we're just sharing a few words to all the moms out there. So at first, happy Mother's Day, and I also want to share just a few words of encouragement, and at the same time, I know that this day holds many different emotions for so many of us, but you know what? I want you to know that whatever your circumstances may be, that there is a God in heaven who loves you, who fights for you, and who has a plan and a good and pleasing purpose for you. So, today we honor all women. We honor those who have blown it, who have overdone it, those who are exhausted and depleted. We honor everyday mamas trying to move from tying shoes to fit to be tied. And we honor mothers of boomerang adults and mothers suddenly parenting their own mothers, and also mothers raising grandchildren. Today, we honor and pray for moms, grandmothers, soon-to-be mamas, stepmothers, moms-in-law, foster mothers, and those who step in to fill the mother gap for the motherless. Because it's truly a mother's love that can bring comfort in a tragedy. It brings love when there is only hate, and it brings hope when faith is gone. Because a mama's love is unconditional and by no mistake. Mothers, may you be celebrated and loved on today. Like crazy, man. Because mothering is hard and it's fraught with failure. So I want you not to lose hope. You want to know why? Because our God's love never fails. Ours will, but not God's. Not now and not ever. Amen? And I just have a few quick questions that I want to ask you. And this is the first one. So, what mom in your life could use a few hours of babysitting and maybe a note hung on her bathroom mirror that says, "Hey, you're doing a great job. Believe it." Or, who do you know who's always there for everyone else but never asks for herself? How can you bless her heart today? Is there a mama you know who has lost a child? Or is there someone you know whose mom has passed away? Bless a mother today. I've personally been reminded what an act of love it is to just sit down and be quiet for just a time all by yourself. Now, that is a great gift you can give your mom today. Amen? Let's pray together. Abba, Father, how good and how pleasant it is when we can gather together, we can come together, and we can worship and lift high the name of your Son, Jesus, who receives all honor and glory and power, who, as our risen Lord, came for the needy, the poor, the oppressed, and the forsaken, who came for each one of us. So today we thank you that it's your life, Lord, that renews our hearts from within. Thank you that we carry your promise of forgiveness. So, Abba, Father, we ask that by the power of your Spirit working through us, we will minister and we will touch the world, sharing your love with all we meet. So again and anew, we dedicate our lives to you, Father. And it's in your Son, Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Would you thank Pastor Loretta this morning, everybody? It's really good. It's like a maze up here. You know, love changes everything. Changes everything. In fact, love changes everything in such a way that it's almost like a hinge on a door. That when you understand and when you sense and when you know what it is to be loved, it changes the trajectory like a hinge on a door. I remember the moment. I remember this story slightly differently than my wife does, but I remember the moment in my own mind, at least, when I said I love you for the very first time to my wife, Julie. We've been married 22 years this summer. And I remember, as I recall, we were seated on the front step of a little house that I was renting in Marion, Indiana. We'd been dating for a few weeks, not that long, really, but long enough that I knew that I more than liked this girl. And I turned to her as we were seated there on the step, and I said, I want you to know something. And I don't know, guys, if this has ever happened for you, but it was literally like when I got to the point where I was thinking I was going to say, I love you, it was like something physically blocked my voice box. Like I couldn't speak. And so it's like, I want you to know something. And then she was like, yeah, what do you want me to know? And suddenly I was like thinking of everything else she could know. Like, did you know that I really like Doritos? And did you know that, you know, I started thinking of all these other things. But I finally got up the gumption and I said, I want you to know, I love, and it was like my tongue got tied. I love you. And she turned to me and she said, "That's nice," she said. "That's nice." A few weeks later, she said, "I love you" back. "I love you too." Love changes everything. Now, some of you in this room, those of you that hunt, fish, those of you that are more manly men in this room, you are going to hear what I'm going to talk about in a moment, and you are going to dismiss this message as being a little lightweight. You're going to say, "You know what, that's kind of fluffy stuff. That's for the moms." And I want you to know it's for everybody today. It's for every single one of us. By the way, my son Chase, just for a little aside, caught his very first Wisconsin fish this week. Caught the very first one he ever caught. Yes. Pulled it out. I'm a kid from the city, right? And so he pulled this fish out, and I'm holding it. It was a little pike. I didn't know what it was at the time, though. I was holding it. And he's like, "What kind of fish is it?" And he's like, he asked me. He's like, "What kind of fish is it, Dad?" And I looked at it, and I was like, "I have no clue what kind of fish that is." And I went to the fishing store. This is free, and it's worth it. I went to the fishing store this week because I had to get a pole fix that we have in our house. And so I walked into the fishing store, and the guy was like, I said, "You know, I'm new here. I'm the pastor at the Wesleyan Church. And, like, listen, man, I don't know what I'm doing." And he's like, "Has anybody ever taught you how to tie a hook on the fishing line?" I was like, "No, nobody ever taught me that. Like, my father failed me, you know." And he was like, "Nobody ever taught you how to tie, like, the actual tie you put on a hook?" And I was like, "No, man, I grew up in the city, okay?" And so he's like, "Okay, he do this." And then I said, I really don't know much about this." And the guy said this to me. He said, "Well, you need to know something," he said. He said, you may not know very much, but there's a few," he said, "that know less than you. But there's plenty," he said, "that know way more than you." And I was like, "I'm never coming back to this store again." And anyway, I digress. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. "What then shall we say in response to this?" Paul says, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but he gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and he is interceding for us." And then this line, "What shall separate us from the love of God?" What shall separate us from the love of God? Now, when you get to that point in Romans chapter 8, you may think to yourself, "Well, that sounds a little flimsy, that sounds a little light," but I pray that today you can have a glimpse, just a glimpse, of a fresh understanding of what Paul is saying when he says, "Who shall separate us from the love of God?" He says, "Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For it's written, for your sake we face death all day long and we're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No," he says, "in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels, demons, present or future, powers, height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is one of the most fundamental, elementary truths in all the Bible. But if you get this truth, it will change everything. If you don't know Jesus today, it is the very starting point. And if you do know Jesus today, it is the very thing that we need to remember every single day of our lives. But here's the problem. The word love has been watered down. The word love has been watered down. See, we have a problem that Paul didn't have. Paul had a choice when it came to words, but for us, we only have one word for love, and because of that, it's a little watered down. So I did a survey this week. I just walked around the church at one point, and I asked people, "What do you love?" And here's what they told me. I had people tell me, "I love Jesus." That was good because we're in a church, but "I love Jesus. I love God. I love Diet Coke. I love Diet Coke from McDonald's," one person said. "I love chocolate. I love the forest. I love the Vikings," somebody else said. "I love the Green Bay Packers. I love Jell-O," one person said. Another person said, "I love kids." Another person said, "I love peanut butter." And then right after that, they said, "Come to think of it, I also like butter." Somebody said, which I thought was funny, somebody. Somebody said, I love shrimp pasta. It's the guy that leads us in worship each week, Pastor Ryan. Somebody said, I love living in Wisconsin. I love the state of Wisconsin. I put this one down. I love pellet ice. And if you don't know what pellet ice is, we can have a conversation. It's the ice they have at Dairy Queen. It's a whole other level of ice. I love my family. I love pancakes and French toast. And then this one. I love my mattress. Now, you may think that's funny, but how many of you in this room have ever had a mattress that you didn't love? Think about it. Yeah. I have a mattress. I love my mattress. I'm not going to lie. I love it. Best mattress I ever had in my life, and I'm telling you about it in church. See, we have a problem Paul didn't have. Paul had choices for the word he could have used for love, but we only have the word love in our dictionary. That's all we have. And so I can love God, and I also can love peanut butter with the exact same word, and that's a problem. Words matter. Words matter. My mom was an English teacher. And so I love English. I love words. And she taught me that words matter. So here's the choice Paul had. Paul could have used the word eros. Now, eros is kind of a romantic love. It's a conditional love. It's a love that's based on our feelings. It's probably the love that I had when I first was thinking about wanting to say I love you to Julie. I was starting to feel something for her. You hear people say, well, I don't know why I love her. I started to feel something inside. Or you can philia. That's another word he could have chosen. Now, philia is a love that's based on commonality. It's friendship. It's kindness to each other. It's like two buddies that go out. It's kind of a brotherly love or a sisterly love. But he chose a word, and the word was agape. Agape. And agape is a love that is so vast and so deep that I'm telling you, I could talk for 12 weeks on the word agape. And I wouldn't even find the bottom of that topic. Because agape is a selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. And that's the word that Paul uses. What can separate us from the love of God, from love, from agape? That's the word that he uses there. So really quickly this morning, I want to tell you two things about this love. First, I want you to know that God's love is unconditional. God's love is absolutely unconditional. Agape love is a committed love. It is not based on feeling and emotion. It is not based on because. Because. So I love you, and then somebody might say, well, why do you love me? Like, I don't know why you love me. God's love is not based on because. If you go in the Hallmark store to buy your card, which you can't go, they're closed today. Those of you that didn't get a card, you're going to have to make one this year. But if you go in the Hallmark store and you want to buy a card, you pull out a whole lot of those cards, and here's all the reasons why I love you. I love you. You're the greatest mom because of this, 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 and this. God's love isn't a list of becauses. God loves you in an unconditional agape way simply because you are. Simply because you are a human being that is formed in the image and likeness of God. It is not tied to because. There's a lot of pressure when you are loved because. Think about it. Think about it. Like when if you say, well, somebody loves me because I'm funny or I'm successful, or somebody might love me because I'm generous or because I'm attractive, or somebody may love me because of, you know, any number of different reasons. What happens if that because changes? What happens if somebody says, well, I love you because you're attractive, and then beauty fades? What happens then? Or what happens if somebody loves you because you're successful, but then you fall flat on your face? Or what happens if somebody says they love you because you're funny, and then one day they realize you're not funny, you're just annoying? Like, what happens then? What do you do when the because fades? See, most love is based on us, but God's love is not. God's love is based on who he is, his character, who he is. Fundamentally at the heart of God is that God loves us unconditionally. And God's love is, we think of love as being conditional or sporadic. We think of love being conditional, like, well, I'll love you if you do these things. Or sporadic, like, I love you more in these moments when you do these things. But God's love is not conditional. And God's love is not sporadic. I want you to hear this loud and clear. God's love is a love that just loves. There is no because attached to it. God doesn't love you because you are sitting here when you could be at home watching TV. God doesn't love you because you put money in the offering plate when it went by today. God doesn't love you because you have a high retirement account or a high GPA. God doesn't love you because you live humbly or you dress modestly. God doesn't love you because you're successful or beautiful or funny. He just loves you. And one theologian, D.A. Carson, says this. He says, morally speaking, your sins, he loves you in spite of your sins, and your sins have made you disgustingly unattractive, but God loves you anyway. God loves you because, if you want a because, it's because God loves you because he loves you. God loves you because he loves you. God's love is absolutely unconditional. And second, God's love is fully sacrificial. It's a sacrificial love. Scripture says, he who did not spare his own son, but he gave him up for us all. God's love, it says that the heart of the Father was that he didn't spare his own son. He gave up his own son and he offered him up for us all, just as Abraham offered Isaac up in the Old Testament. God's love is not determined by any condition or circumstance in your life. God's love for you was forever determined at the cross. If you've ever wondered, am I really loved by God? Look at a cross. The next time you drive by a cross, that cross stands as a reminder that God's love is consistent and reliable and dependable and absolutely sacrificial, and your value as a human being, as a person, was forever settled at the cross. So when we moved to Indiana, we had a whole bunch of things that we were selling. And one of the things we were selling is we had a Wii video game system. Anybody in the room ever have a Wii video game system? There's one over there. There we go. And so we had a Wii video game system. We had a whole bunch of games, a whole bunch of controllers, and I thought I could get like $300 for this thing because I paid like $400 for this thing. So I took it to a place called GameStop. Now, I want you to know, if you're above the age of 60, don't go to GameStop. Don't even try to understand this world. Like, it's hard for me, and I'm 45. And so I walk in, and I walked into GameStop, and they will buy old video games. And so I went in, and I set all this stuff down, and I said, I'd like to sell you this stuff. And the guy said to me, I'll give you about 30 bucks for it. I said, 30 bucks? I spent $400 on that. And he's like, well, this game isn't worth anything, and this console, there's a newer model out, and these controllers are a little broken. He's like, I'll give you 40 bucks for it. And I was like, no, that's a ripoff. And he said, you have to understand something, sir. This is only worth, listen to this, this is only worth what someone else is willing to pay for it. This is only worth what somebody else is willing to pay for it. So I found somebody else that was willing to pay more for it. True story. Paul says this, if you're looking for the measurement of your value in God's eyes, it was forever settled at the cross. You say, well, what was somebody willing to pay for your life? Their life? What was somebody willing to give for your life? Their own life. The scripture says, he who did not spare his own son, he gave him up for us all. Paul says, here's how much God loves you. Here's how much the love of God is true, that he would give up his own son as a sacrifice for us all. God loves us that much. Now, this is something that's so unique because every religion in the world has a different way that you attain love. The Buddhist religion, it's based on your own personal performance. And Hindu religion, it's how good of a person you are and how much you're able to accomplish. Muslim religion says you have to adhere to a strict set of rules. But when you understand God's love, you realize that God's love has been extended to you every single day of your life. John Stott says that the cross is the guarantee of the continuing, unfailing generosity of God, and you don't have to earn that kind of love. What God did on the cross eternally has set your value. Eternally has set your value. So I want you to read this verse today. I want you to see it. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, those of you that are English-minded in this room and you're studying the words, you would say, wait a minute, that verse is past tense. That verse says that God loved us before. Does God love us now? You have to understand the way that this was written, and if I had more time, I'd tell you more about it. But the way that this was written, the tense of the word that was used, that verb for loved there, was such that Paul was pointing back, and he was saying, here's what happened. Your love was forever determined. The love that God has for you was forever determined by a single act that occurred, and it occurred on the cross. And all these things, we are more than conquerors through him. You could say it this way, through him who loved us, or through him who went to the cross for every single one of us. The love that he has for you today is real. The love that he has for you today is consistent and it's unchanging. And I hope that as we've walked through Romans chapter 8, you've seen that in a fresh way. And I want you to hear these words as we wrap this series of messages up. You could sum it all up in 10 words. You can sum all of Scripture up in 10 words. God made everybody. Everybody that's in this room, God made them. God made us all. Doesn't matter where they are in the world, God made them all. God made people in India, and God made people in Indiana. God made them all. God made everybody. And God never made a mistake. I want you to know that too. God never was forming you in your mother's womb and said, oops, God never did that. God didn't drop the wrench while he was putting things together in your life. God never did that. God made everybody. And Jesus died for everybody. You've never met a single person for whom Christ didn't die. The person that is hardest for you to love, Jesus died for that person too. The person for you that's easiest to love, Jesus died for that person too. And God loves everybody. God loves everybody, and you've never lived an unloved day. I was reading this week, and I was trying to think, how I wanted to communicate this in a way that you wouldn't forget. And so I was digging as hard as I could, and I was trying to find things that people had written about God's love. And quite honestly, some of it sounded scholarly and would bore you, and some of it also sounded, though, a little romantic, and some of you would roll your eyes. And so I thought, you know what? I finally came across an article that somebody had written where they talked about the people that God loves, and they went from A to Z in the alphabet. And I said, that's it. And so let me read this to you this morning. The band's going to come, and they're going to join me, and then we're going to sing together and be reminded of the great name of Jesus. I want you to hear this today. God loves ambulance drivers. God loves artists, astronauts, acrobats, the Amish, Anglicans, animal rights activists, astrologers, adulterers, addicts, and atheists. God loves babies. God loves Bible readers. God loves Baptists and barbershop quartets. God loves blondes, brunettes, and old ladies with blue hair. God loves the burned out. He loves the bullied and the bullies. God loves people who are brave, busy, bossy, bitter, boastful, or bored. If you are all of those things, that's a problem. God loves Canadians. God loves Cambodians. God loves Cubans, and God loves Mark Cuban. God loves congressmen. God loves crooks, creeps, cheaters, and crystal meth junkies. God loves dads. God loves deadheads. God loves deadbeats. God loves drag racers, Duke Ellington, and the Dukes of Hazzard. That was a great show, by the way. God loves Elvis impersonators, environmental activists, evolutionists, and Eminem. God loves the faithful and the faithless, the fearful and the fearless. He loves people from Fiji, from Finland, from France, and he loves people who think that Philippines is spelled with an F. God loves good people. God loves grateful people, generous people, grouchy people, goofy people, and people who collect garden gnomes. God loves them too. God loves homosexuals, and God loves people who are homophobic, and all the homo sapiens in between. God loves people from India and Indiana. Thank goodness he loves people from Indiana. God loves introverted people, intense people, and God loves IRS auditors. God loves late night talk show hosts named Jimmy, Fallon, or Kimmel. People who eat Jim sausages, either Jimmy Dean or Jim Slim Jim. People who love jams, hip hop, or strawberry. And singers named Justin Timberlake or Bieber. God loves them too. God loves people from Kazakhstan, and God loves people from Kalamazoo. God loves people in Laos, and God loves people who are feeling lousy, and God loves people who are ludicrous, and God loves ludicrous too. God loves librarians, landscapers, and lawyers. God loves moms, God loves ministers, God loves missionaries, and God loves Mennonites. God loves people who are malicious, meticulous, mischievous, mysterious, people who collect marbles, and people that have lost their marbles. God loves them too. God loves ninjas and people from Nicaragua. That's one of my favorite ones. I don't know why. God loves obstetricians, orthodontists, optometrists, ophthalmologists, and obituary writers. God loves pornographers and pedophiles, pill poppers and pill pushers. And God loves the police that have to arrest them. God loves the Queen of England. God loves the members of the band Queen. And God loves Queen Latifah too. God loves the people of Russia, Rwanda, and the people who put the rainbow-colored marshmallows in my Lucky Charms. God loves them too. God loves people who live in South Africa. God loves people who live in South America. And God loves people who live on the south side of Chicago. God loves Tom Jones, Tom Hanks, Tom Brady, though I'm convinced not so much. God loves Tommy Lee Jones, and God loves telemarketers. God loves people from the United States. God loves the people from the United Kingdom, from the United Arab Emirates, Ukrainians, the unemployed, blind baseball umpires, used car salesmen. God loves ushers and God loves usher. God loves vegetarians in Virginia Beach, vegans in Vietnam, and God loves people who eat lots of vanilla bean ice cream. God loves waitresses who work at Waffle Houses, weirdos and Weight Watchers who hide whatchamacallits in their windbreakers. I'm glad I don't have to say that sentence again because that's a tongue twister. God loves x-ray technicians. And I want you to hear this loud and clear. I want you to hear this loud and clear on Mother's Day 2018. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you, tall, short, old, young, employed, unemployed, underemployed, happy you, sad you, depressed you, content you, confused you. The Bible doesn't just say that God loves you. It says that he so loves you. God so loved the world. And God loves zoologists who are preparing for the zombie apocalypse. God loves all of them, A to Z. And I want you to hear this loud and clear, friends. Sometimes people say, well, why does the church function? Why does the church gather? What are we all doing here? And I'll tell you what we all are doing here. We have the responsibility and the honor and the joy and the privilege of loving people the same way that we've been loved. We have the responsibility and the joy and the privilege of letting every person in Sawyer County and beyond know that they are loved by God, and that if they confess their sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And he's inviting them into a relationship. And maybe today you just needed to know again that you're loved unconditionally and sacrificially. I'd like us to stand together, and I'd like us to pray. And so, God, there's something that's really encouraging about not being able to explain your love. I realize that it's not a love that ignores the wrong in our lives, but it's a love that even goes beyond that. If we trust you, you forgive us, you change us, you make us right. And so I thank you for the love that's so great that we don't understand it. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to live with a glimpse of it. Would you help us to know in a way that we've never known before? And when persecution and sufferings in this life come and they feel like too much, would you remind us that there's nothing that can ever separate us from your love? And it's in your name we pray.